Tonight our devotion is going to come from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. If you wanted to turn to it for the few moments we have. What I'm focusing on tonight with this devotion is the fact that God fulfills our needs. And in fulfilling our needs, He focuses on the individual many times. We know that the biblical story is about the nation of Israel. And other nations as well. But oft times throughout the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, you find the conversation, the event, focusing upon an individual person, such as the case here. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels ahead of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut up the door, her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now, folks, this is the kind of vessels that we need. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. But verse 5 says, So she went from him, shut the door, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Filled up all the vessels. The oil just kept flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go and sell the oil. Pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, of course, the need that was fulfilled on the part of this woman was furnished by a miracle by one of the prophets. We know that in biblical times, Old and New Testament, at times there were miracles performed, legitimate miracles, things that were super, that is, above the natural, meaning God Himself, His Son, and their disciples of the biblical age. And I mention this tonight because I wanted to focus on the fact that God, in fulfilling our needs, does focus on the individual. When you read an account of this woman here, having her needs fulfilled by one of the prophets of God, we have to think of all of the times in the New Testament that individual were addressed. And as we've mentioned before, there were times, even in the midst of a multitude, when Christ would focus on one specific individual. And the example that always comes to my mind is the woman with an issue of blood. In the midst of a multitude, walking along the way, and no doubt talking, along with His apostles, a woman touched His garment because she wanted to be healed of her disease. And that's when Jesus said, Who touched me? That's when His apostles, you know, according to common sense, said, Lord, you ask who touched you in this multitude? It'd be like saying who touched me in Neyland Stadium on the third Sunday in October every year, wouldn't it? But we have that kind of a focus. It's on the individual. Now, I want to suggest to us this evening, folks, in regard to our own situation individually, God works with congregations, yes. I would mention the fact, first of all, that God knows our problems. Matthew chapter 6, 8, and then again in verse 32, Jesus makes the statement that our Lord knows even what we have need of, even before we ask. I mean, He wants us to ask. He wants us to come and communicate with Him, yes, but He knows what we have need of. God knows every single problem that we have. And I know each and every one of us have things in our lives that we feel like that we cannot handle at times. We're confused with it and everything. Listen, folks, God knows that. Christ knows that. We don't even have to understand it ourselves. The Holy Spirit and Christ are there because they understand it. And the good news is they will help. The good news is they already have helped by giving us the record of God's plan to save man all the way back to the beginning chapter of Genesis, down through the end of Revelation. It's all laid out for us. It took them 1,500 years to begin with, to begin that plan well. The widow's problem was that she was destitute. She was crying. The words, the grammatical construction there would suggest uncontrollable mourning, sobbing. She was in distress. You seen people that way? I'm sure that all of us, if we live very many years, have on occasion seen individuals who are totally, maybe it was the loss of a loved one. I recall one instance where we had to take hold of a lady to move her away from the casket where her husband lay. She was so distraught, so upset. This lady was distressed, terribly distressed. She didn't have the needs that she needed. Death had come to her family. She had lost her spouse. Some of you know what that means. Her husband was a son of the prophet. The son of a prophet were simply groups of people that worked with the prophets themselves. It seemed just a general statement to cover that. You can get more detail in biblical sources. He was in training under Elisha. That's why she came to him. She owed money. She had no income. She had bill collectors coming. Sound familiar, folks? Have some of us been there? Maybe most of us been there at times. They were coming to take her sons as slaves. Now that was a legitimate thing, legitimate in the sense that God tolerated that for centuries. But it was a custom back in those days. You can read about it in other places in the Old Testament. But I suggest to you also that God releases our potential. That when we go to God in prayer, like this woman was, maybe distraught, maybe praying for Him to help us, like the man that came, that would come to Jesus, and Jesus would say, "What do you want?" That's what the prophet said to her here. "What shall I do for you? What do you have in your house?" Now, folks, here's an interesting thing. My understanding is that men in New Testament and Old Testament times could perform miracles. Why didn't he just give her what she needed? It's sort of like in the New Testament, whenever the preaching of the gospel came about, and a human being like Philip in Acts chapter 8 was sent to preach from Isaiah to the treasurer that was traveling and was studying the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Why didn't the Holy Spirit just contact him himself? And tonight in the Bible class here in the auditorium, we're going to be looking at Cornelius, the example of his conversion. Why, instead of the sending Peter through a vision, did the Holy Spirit to visit Cornelius? Why didn't he just visit Cornelius? The human beings were always involved. In other words, God continually asked people who stood in need, "What do you have? What have you done? What do you want?" In other words, what's my part in it? And folks, our part in it is simply to frequently talk to Him about it to begin with. Secondly, that we take the time to study His Word in regard to, maybe we find in regard to the situation we're in, the need that we feel that we have, that we need so bad. Talk to Him about it. Not once, not twice, But those examples we have in the parables of the New Testament of Jesus Christ about the judge that got taken out with this woman's continual coming. And so he gave her what she wanted. He tells us to keep on praying. Have a life of prayer. Pray without ceasing, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. God will release our potential, if you will. And of course, some always want to know where God is, and we know that we have times of confusion, times of maybe somewhat of doubt. And we read the book of Job, and Job wanted to curse the day he was born. He didn't believe anything, he wished he was dead, and you talk about negative language, Job laid it out for a while. God understands our confusion. The Holy Spirit understands our confusion. He'll enter in on our behalf when we don't even know what to ask for. We don't know what will fill our needs. He does. In this case, God is going to take care of the impossible for us. If there is an impossible, He'll take care of it for us. Now, we have to remember we live in an age after biblical times when God doesn't work directly, doesn't help us directly, but He does help us through His providence. And whether or not we can associate any specific help that we find ourselves in possession of, nevertheless, it could be that that's the providence of God. Let Him do it His way. He will take care of it. Nothing is hid from God, according to the Hebrews writer. Chapter 4 and verse 13, everything is open. God knows everything. Knows all about our problems. He involved this man in this particular instance. Involved the widow. He made her see her need and He sent her to her neighbors to get the things that he wanted. In the letter that Peter wrote, the second one, in the first chapter, beginning about verse 4, he lays out some precious promises that he gives to Peter, that he gave to all of us. They're available to all of us, but we have to accept it. We have to accept the blessings of salvation. We have to accept the blessings of His providence. We have to accept all of those things which He extends to us, even as we do in the material world. We know that when we receive a gift, that we have to receive it. We have to do something. We have to agree to the conditions, whatever it might be, in order to profit by it. Just like grace. There is no such thing as grace alone. Even as there is no such thing as faith alone. Faith is a working faith. Grace is, well, it demands our reception of that grace. God's help to us is only limited by us. Paul bore that out in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So tonight, think about it, folks. You have a need in your life if you're a child of God, something you're struggling with. I know that all of us do. And all of us have things that are private. We're not going to share with anybody else necessarily. But still, we can turn to God in prayer and discuss it with Him based upon our examination of His words. And if you're not a child of God, but yet you have heard the gospel, you know and understand the gospel, but you have never confessed that belief before men, as Paul urged the Romans, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, and you have never repented of your sins, publicly confessing Him in return, turned away from it, and confessed Him as your Savior. Never been baptized, buried with Him in water. Why not tonight? Whatever your need is, prayers of the church, baptism, we'd be glad to assist as together we stand and sing.